episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Going green is the bumpers going to come in. Last week I did a fabulous Be Told about the sun being yellow, and Martha came in, Arthur or Martha, and we talked about stuff and it didn't get recorded because there's no bumpers. A waste of very good information, very good information, but never mind. Tuesday the 20th of May, may the 20th be with you. I'm reporting live in a very soon-to-be flood zone. We have got rain of a magnitude you'd only have could compare it to a Noah's Ark in those days. A myth that's basically circulated around the world and is still going. Every time they dig up anything old or whatever, they always find there's evidence of some big cataclysmic water event. And let me just tell you now, I'm looking out my rear windows. Great movie, Hitchcock, Rear Window. And I can see, because if I chop this fucking tree down that's growing, I just saw photos from Google Earth the other day, and everything was so small about a year before I bought this property. And since then, thanks to this incredible rains that we've been getting nonstop, it is huge. There's this bush, little bush has turned into a big, massive, fat-looking tree. And it's blocking, not completely though, the fast rising river across the road is absolutely moving like something ferocious, and it's brown. The water's all brown from all the runoff from the areas around it. Let's hope these bumpers come in. Joel. I'll be phoning Joel immediately if I don't get within, I'll give it, was it every 5 minutes? No matter what you say. When he comes in and sings, plays the piano. But yeah, it's incredible. The rain, 258 millimetres in the last 2 days or day and a half, whatever, that's fucking saturated. I just drove into, the when it is Port Macquarie, the former, basically, you call it a giant concentration camp for Irish, Scottish and poor Englishmen 200-something years ago. Which is now, you know, bland, dull, coastal city that's expanding like you would not believe. And there was roads, luckily I've got a van, there was no problem, but if you had a little car, there were roads you just couldn't go down because the water's rising that fast. And apparently by tomorrow I'll be cut off, in metaphorically or phorically, because of this rain is going to close off a high tide will back it up, and I'd say the roads will be closed out of here, and hopefully it'll open back up again so I can get to the winner. But I may have to not be able to go there tomorrow. I might be stuck here, and luckily I've got toilet paper. That hasn't sold off the shelves. You'd think panic buying. This is a genuine reason you should be panic buying impending floods. And they're talking about this as being a category zero, like really bad. Are really bad, but you've got to watch out for the hype that goes on with these online weather things, because they always make everything worse than normal. But let me just tell you now that where I live, when they say floods and fires, it's at a level that you just don't want to be in when it gets bad. And people lost everything that lived down along the, anything at sea level. A few years ago, was it just after, during COVID? And I've seen it happen twice. Everything, the carpets and the furnishings and everything, piled up like a huge big pile out the front of their houses afterwards for weeks before they got picked up. And it looks like it might be going towards that one again. I hope it doesn't, but I'm telling you, this is fucking ferocious weather. Absolutely ferocious. Anyway, Joel, where's the bumper? I'm getting worried. No matter what you say. Well, I'm going, as long as I'm going green. But at least I've done, I managed to do a fantastic show with Dave J and Rollo the other night. So that's all I really need to do. And fakeologists, I'm always impressed with my very slight appearances over there. But for some reason, I'm usually a few sheets, I've had a few drinks and I just spout knowledge. And last few of them have been very interesting because I cannot remember a fucking thing that I say the next day. I'm usually extremely tired and I've had a few drinks. I've had a few drinks, but why not? Anyway, I'm going to mute for a little bit and just wait for these bumpers because I'm not going to waste a fucking another night doing this again. So I'll just wait. And waiting. Come on, bumpers. Not another one. This is second show done that didn't get recorded. I'm going to be very upset. Come on, bumpers. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Waiting.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Click on the donate link.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Link for the second time, or did it get recorded before? Rick Betold, episode number 29, number 11. Literally in biblical storm. This is a real storm, not like the extremely overhyped, dull one that they threatened us with when that cyclone Alfred came over and they said, close the schools, diddle everything down my way. And yeah, it got a little bit windy in the Gold Coast, but come on. I mean, this is where I am right now, absolute biblical level rain. And I'm looking at the river across the road from me, rising and flowing like a, and I'm going to close windows. It's rising and flowing like, what would you call it? That big one in Canada that people go over in barrels, the Niagara Falls. If there was a waterfall nearby, and there are actually, but not near me, thank God, it would be absolutely incredibly powerful. It's like New Zealand level rain back in the day. I call New Zealand one of the rainiest countries in the world, land of the long white cloud, or the wrong white cloud, as they used to joke about back in the day. I am witnessing live on air. The wind is howling. It's like being on the bridge of a ship going through a massive big, like the Tasman Strait, or is it the Tasman Sea? Between here and between Australia and New Zealand is the Tasman Sea, and it is a fucking wild ocean, be told. It's absolutely, everything is bad here. I just drove, though, to Port Macquarie, the former concentration camp for Irish, English, poor people and Scotsmen 200 and something years ago, where they were absolutely brutally treated and hunted down and killed by local Aboriginal tribes who've been given a little silver badge to, you know, say that they're special, and anyone that escaped a penal colony was hunted down and stabbed. And I've got this incredible book here that I keep talking about, The Winding Sheet, which is the sheet that they wind the bodies down into the graves with. And an awful lot of these poor little people, and I'm saying little because they weren't fed meat back in the day, the reset earlier, 5'3", 5'2", seemed to be average height, hunted down, died of spear wounds. That's S-P-E-A-R wounds. Thanks, Joel. I panicked. I was talking before, and I thought, not again. Because, you know, when you do a show, and last week I did an hour and a quarter, and I had Martha, the great guest who comes on. We had some really interesting conversation. None of it got recorded. But I didn't care because, you know, I do too many fucking shows as it is. And I do. I do the Rick and Roller show, my favourite show. And then my second favourite show, the Dave J Bongversation, number 33. We just knocked that one out. He's polarised himself with a lot of other people, but not with me. He's, I think it's fantastic. I really enjoy those Sundays that we're doing those shows. And it's only on YouTube. Go to Dave J YouTube, and you can see episode 33. It's some great stuff knocked out by him and me. Him and me. I'm doing a bit more input in these shows now. I just normally just like used to go, Dave, speak thou information, and boom, an hour goes by. And now I'm kind of interjecting a bit more, but really good show, and he did a really good he's put it out. It's got,
that's a fact. Well,
300, he's got 300 people that have listened to it already in the last day. Which I'm telling you, look, I don't care what anyone says. Like, as my son got 300,000, no, up to 500,000 now probably, on his little thing that he did about a funny parody about HSC. And he put it out, as Rollo said, you put it out at the right time, things can happen. And he did, and he got 300,000 within a week and a half. I thought it was 30,000. I thought he was exaggerating. No, it was 300,000, now up to 500,000 likes on this thing that he did. I'm not going to say what it was, but he's a very clever Manny. They all are, all my children. And he's exceptionally good at social media and stuff like that. He's going to be a force of nature in the future, be told. Yeah, the floods, my God. So I drove into Port Macquarie to go, and I've been very lucky. I'm going to say that most people around here, if you're a tradie or a roofer or a fencer or work outside, or even some of the businesses are just blatantly, they just shut down. This is a real reason to shut down. Not like that fucking Cyclone Alfred bullshit that they went on about, where they actually closed from top of Brisbane, with a D, as my father says, all the way to almost Melbourne with an M. And they said, oh, these things could happen. These things could happen now. This is a real bad one. They've actually, the schools were still open today, but a lot of people didn't send their poor little children to school. Or they just thought, nah, we're not going to do it. The little op shop down the road that I work at, they've shut down for 3 days. This is a real, really bad weather pattern. Is it being deliberately done? I'm going to suggest it is. I'm going to suggest it is because as I was trying to say last week, the local farmers in the area were given, they said, we've got about a week before we can get in there and either harvest what we grew over summer or put our new plants down that will be ready for, you know, the harvest, the next harvest. They cannot even get onto their fields. The tractors just go under. Their tractors go under. So there's going to be food hikes. There's the kookaburras. They haven't been cancelled though in the background. The poor little things. Well, they're not little, but they're in the trees. Look, I feel sorry for nature when it gets like this because I've been saving earthworms today. Yes, I saved about the last 15 that are left on this lawn that managed to get out before they drowned at a job in Port Macquarie. These things are massive. They're like about, I don't know, how big are these things? They're like mini snakes. But they've had to get out and they go onto concrete because the grass is so sodden and they drown. And about, I scraped up about 20 or 30 of them at this job last week after the last big rain. And so the last remnants of them, there's about five or six, and they weren't dead yet, though. So I managed to pick them up, horrible slimy things, and find a raised garden bed, and I think I've saved them. So is that karma for the future? I would hope so. I'll make up for any bad deeds that I've done in the past. I saved earthworms, Your Honour. Oh, yes, I did. And hopefully that will be brought up when I'm put before the Inquisitor at the end of days. And so he saved those earthworms. There was hardly any left. If it wasn't for him, Port Macquarie might have run out of earthworms. Guaranteed. But no, it's bad. And the local businesses are shutting down around me. I managed to go into Port Macquarie, do a job, earn some money, as I did yesterday. Unlike most other poor people around here that would say you've got a mortgage, you know, $500 to $1,500 a week, which is the average repayment, and you can't go to work, well, who's going to pay that? Who's going to pay that? Anyway, Joel, I've got to say thank you so much for your prompt. Or was it there? Did you do anything? I'm not sure. I know he's out there listening.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Joel. Goodbye, Joel. Goodbye, Joel. Just like John Walls said, very funny. Anyone out there, and only Susie's kind of gone through and listened to them all, go back to the Folkologist or the
Goodbye, Joel.
Podcast.
Goodbye, Joel.
He's got it. Goodbye, Joel.
Goodbye, Goodbye Joel. Joel. Goodbye, Joel.
I was like, what a wonderful man. What a talent. What a talent. Yeah, so I was talking away and I thought, am I going to be wasting my time again? And I thought, I better immediately contact Joel, the incredible producer of the Medusa. And, oh, it's wonderful. Martha's just popped in. Hey, Martha, because I know you're always time you've always got time confused, so come in and...
Yeah, fine. Hey, dude.
Well, I'm damned.
I think it's still raining there, is it?
Not this...
Can I just interrupt for a second?
Go for it, man.
I'm glad to hear Martha's here, and I look very forward to hearing you and Martha chat for the next hour. You've proved to do nothing but interesting entertainment when that happens. But I just wanted to interject to say, no, there's nothing was weird with the system. It's you're right to check, but no, everything was recording fine. Yeah.
Because you know what I did? I came on and I did it. So just scrub the first bit that you're going to get when you do the replay. Because I was waiting and waiting. I was sitting there, and I thought it was every 5 minutes. Is it not every 5 minutes?
What is every 5 minutes? What are you talking about?
The bumper. How often?
Every 20 minutes.
Oh, that's my problem. So obviously I came in right after the 20th one. Sorry, Joel.
Where did you think it came that often? It's not based on when you talk. It's just 20 minutes consistently. It's always 20, 40, and at top of hour, no matter what.
Oh, obviously, you listen to the complaints about psychologists bringing them in every 5 minutes back in the day.
I just think it's lucky you caught me when you did. I just happened to have my phone open. Like I don't let notifications of apps go to the top. Like, I don't let Discord control my life or anything, you know?
Like, good man.
I don't let things notify me. It's just, I just happened to open it myself and then it was right there. It was like you saying, oh, I'm about to do a show. I was like, shit, I better check, right? So I went on my computer. I'm at the computer.
And
I was like, oh, gee, yeah. It's all fine. Things have been working fine. Like, there was an issue of the last show with Martha. I don't know.
Yeah, didn't get
it. Yeah, but you said you didn't hear the bumpers, right? So that's the occasion.
Well, I was on for an hour. I was on for an hour 20 minutes, and Martha was on for about 30 of those minutes or whatever. And we were chatting away, and I just said, "There's no bumpers." Like, and I did hear this really weird. You know when something's not going right, and you hear this like.
It was weird. Okay.
That came on. Yeah.
That's one of those things where that's my only out is to say if you're not hearing things the way you normally do, you need to message me straight away. Well, I can fix it in quick proximity. I'm available around the clock. I can fix it, but you need to. You were in that circumstance where you need to let me know. I did have a problem after a year of operating without a problem. Verilicious lost a show because of that, and I didn't know about it. And she need like if I had have known, I could have fixed it. But yeah, there's been a few things lately where it's like. When it comes down to the technicality, there's if you're hearing certain traits, let me know. I can dial in, fix it straight away, you know, and I can get you and Martha back on air. And then there's other circumstances where I couldn't explain why it got lost. I wouldn't know what was going on.
Well, you could have been on the trains, literally, up going up the Blue Mountains. So it's obviously not raining like it is here where you are, obviously. Mm. I'll just put...
We've had a fair bit of rain today, but not only enough that we need to use the dryer instead of hanging out washing, but nothing torrential.
At the moment, like this morning, it was 100 kilometre winds or so, blowing. It was like having someone, I just described it before, as like being on, you know, you see those ships going over through the Bass Strait or the Tasman Sea or the Irish Sea. And it's like this coming at the, and it's like smashing into the windows. Yeah. Doing a good job at cleaning windows.
Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum.
Yeah, but it's absolutely. And so I am quite likely to be marooned where I live. Thank God I live up a hill. I went to the bottle shop. I actually ran.
You have your own island. Shortly enough, you can be like Greg Norman. That's quite desirable, you know, for real estate value.
Well, I actually live in a really good spot, so and my worms are still alive, I do believe. I haven't seen many dead worms outside.
The worm hasn't turned.
The worm hasn't turned, but Port Macquarie, let me just say this, the worms are being exterminated because it's all built on beach reclaimed land. And when the rain comes, like even at, I'm looking at now, I'm on a hill, and you can see the water's actually settling, you know, there's that much coming down that's actually settling. But there's actually, I would say, at a guess, I'll be marooned. But guess what? I got to Woolworths. I have toilet paper. Mm-hmm. I have beer, ice, beer. Everything's good. I've got food, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm quite happy. More than happy.
You can drink a shitload of beer. You get diarrhea. Well, and you got no problem.
I've got no problem whatsoever. You know, that's funny.
That's my life equation. I stock up. I'll send you a photo of my. I just stock up on toilet paper and canned food and meat. That's my whole life.
Don't worry. I've done that and I have got that too. Yeah. So I've got. I've still got cans of COVID era tuna in my cupboard.
Don't go. We only go back like a month in tuna. You're going back to COVID tuna? God.
Yes. Oh, you should. You've got no idea.
You're a conspiracy theorist. You were stocking up way too ahead of your time.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
COVID tuna. This episode has to be called COVID tuna, Rick. This is absurd.
COVID tuna, yeah.
Yeah, COVID tuna.
COVID tuna.
Rick's Beats Hole with Rick. COVID tuna.
Yeah, COVID
tuna. It's got the shits.
COVID tuna. There's COVID tuna. I'm not joking, though. I bought huge big cans of it.
Really? Wow. So, we thought we were stocking up, and we're only a few months ahead of like we've got a few months leeway, but nothing like from backdated till COVID. God.
Oh man, no! I'm a conspiracy theorist.
I am too. I try my best, but God, there's only I've got stacks of casks of filtered water. You know, like osmosis micron 2 water down to purity, and I've got cans of vegetables and beans and tomatoes and that.
That only goes
back a few months. I've got stocked.
I've got pesto from 2020 in bottles. I've got baked beans, loads of baked beans. Guaranteed, I'm telling you now, from 2020.
You need to have a chili cook-up.
I've got spaghetti cans. I've got big cans of tuna. If I went through and looked at the actual when I bought them, it'd have to be 5 years ago. But I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with it. When you open it
I agree. Of course. Yeah.
Don't tell, but you just can't tell the younger folks. My younger children, they think Dad's mentally ill. If they think anything over a month old in the freezer should be thrown out. And I said, and I actually proved them. I had all this sausages that I bought in 2022 or 2021. I cooked them up and they tasted absolutely fantastic.
Sausages.
I'm not joking.
This is what I'm doing too. I've got the barbecue out on the balcony and I thaw one thing each night and then go out and grill it. And it's sometimes it's a porterhouse or an eye fillet. Sometimes it's some sausages. Sometimes it's a lamb steak. Just one thing a night. And I go out and barbecue on the balcony. Tastes perfectly fine. It's frozen. Well, but,
look,
you know.
It's frozen. Look, listen, my freezer obviously worked. I've actually got a new fridge now. Actually, no, I got this fridge in 2021. So I've been using it. But I did, when it actually started malfunctioning, I had to throw out lots of. I brought a whole of beef tallow and stuff like that, which I put in the freezer, so I could, you know, at worst, I could make up, you know, if we really did go under, which, you know, we're worried about stuff, and we do get at locked down.
Yeah, everyone laughs it off now, but at the time, it was pretty scary.
It was bad. Yeah. It was bad. And look, people, you couldn't buy toilet paper for God's sake.
Yeah.
They were running in there and fighting over it. And
I was more concerned that I got chased out of the bottle shop, not wearing a mask. You know, I couldn't buy vodka. Like, not to make a silly joke, but like, no, I couldn't even have a drink. No. Like, that was part of my life, was having a drink, and they didn't want to have me in Dan Murphy's. They chased me out of there. So,
yeah. That happened. That happened over here. And I actually did concede a bit. Like, I'd walk in there and with it around my neck. I never put it over my face. I wouldn't put those blue ones on. I had, you know, a dust mask, you know, that I should be wearing.
Right, anyway. Yeah, like the woodworking. Yeah.
Cooking one. So I just put that around my chin if I had to. Because what annoyed me more was the little old ladies that were staring at you.
I got chased. You know, back in the heat of COVID, I went to Woolworths to do my shopping. And there was a woman that chased me around with her phone filming me doing my shopping.
Yeah.
And I said, what are you doing? She goes, I'm going to report you. I said, well, go for your life. Film me and report me all your life.
Be told, episode number 29.
No matter what your age.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Old art of condensation, and let me just tell you now, it's condensating outside big time. It's pissing down with rain, and may the, what did I say, 20th? May the 20th be with you. And we've got the fabulous Martha and, oh my God, the greatest producer ever, Joel, in the background. So
thank you, Rick. Thank you.
Always good. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Hey, and thank you for the I really enjoyed the Rick and Roller. You just jammed the whole thing together. It was a good show the other night. I really enjoyed.
You didn't do that much after, so I thought just as one whole show. I think people will understand if they heard you go, oh, and we'll be on the next show coming up. I think they'll understand. No. I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, well, I think Roller, whatever he bought to stick up his nose was actually that good. That he suddenly realised that he just wanted to go and sit and watch YouTubes of old TV shows and not talk to me.
Is that really what he was? Did he really get that from the real estate agent? Am I to believe all that story?
I'll have to say that most real estate agents that are in
real estate. No, I know the stereotype of real estate agents. Fair enough, but just the fact that he's saying it, I'm like, I approach his statements with trepidation. Like, is he really saying what really happened? Or, you know,
you take it with an ounce of salt. Yeah. You take it with an ounce of salt per day. But no, if he says he's got something, he usually has got something.
I heard all those noises and then it took me back to the old days. And I thought, it's been so long since he did that kind of stuff on air. All the sound effects.
but it seemed
pretty legit, so maybe.
Well, I could tell the fact that he wanted to get off the show, because you know how normally he wants to just keep chatting, but he's obviously gone
and he suddenly
went, I can just watch old Doctor Who shows all night and no one's
I can watch Dad's Army with Christie and be done with it.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. I don't know if she's going to watch it with him, but I know that the dog would have had to watch it with him, but that's what he was going to do. Yeah, but he was definitely, I was surprised he wanted to end it that quick, because I was quite happy to keep going. It was one of those nights. Yeah. And
it was a good time to wrap it into the previous show and just leave it as one. And it got released that way. It seems perfectly fine.
I enjoyed it. I always enjoy. I actually have to listen back to these shows and I go, "What the fuck did I say last night?" Man, it was good. It was good.
God, the soundboard Saturdays and the drunken productions I've done where I go, I have to actually listen to know what they all went on, and not that it's all that bad. It's actually, to be fair, hit the sound effects, do the funny lines. Well, I always look back at my lines and go, man, that's funny. That's a funny line.
I always need to know, what did I say last night? Because I honestly cannot remember anything that I say, except on the Rick and Roll, on a Be Told, I can usually remember everything because I do it Tuesday, pretty sober. But Saturdays usually bother, and Sundays definitely. If I go on Folkologist, I've got no idea what I've said. And I'm actually always pleasantly surprised that I've actually dropped some interesting stuff. And Rollo came up with that thing that he was the first person I heard to say that the Comey's shell pattern of 86-47 was exactly 8,647 days after 9/11. Now, he broke that story. It's now, since then, by really weird coincidence,
Rollo mentioned this. When?
Yeah, because he was on line. On Saturday night, he did it. And I'd never heard that before. And I listened to all of IPS's shows, and where this is his forte, is bringing up these coincidences. But how Rollo found out, some random guy posted it onto the Donald Trump appreciation site that he's obviously reading. And Rollo went, instead of going, hey, that's fantastic. What he did is he got his calculator. He subtracted those days, and it was exactly the 8,647 days since 9/11 when that guy showed that photo of a shell pattern saying 8,6,47.
Wow.
And so he posted a comment going, hey, man, that's actually right. Fantastic. And he said he watched as he was typing, his comment just disappeared, and then the guy above that actually posted it, his comment disappeared. So it was a real thing. If they're censoring stuff like that, obviously there's a big coincidence there. And Rollo was right on the money there. He beat everyone, and now it's on Facebook. I've noticed all these conspiracy sites saying, bringing up those numbers. So well done. So Rick and Rollo episode 31 or whatever it was the other night was first cab off the rank to bring up that number. And I've been very thank you Rick and Rollo. Thank you Rollo.
Martha took part this week in a show with Verilicious. Ask him about that.
I was in the fitting room with the Botox, and the Scrotox, Rick.
Well, you know what? First of all, when I saw that, I have heard, because that anal bleaching is a thing, but it only became a thing after what's his name put that movie out and it really plugged it. But they would do that, the community out there. But I thought injecting Botox into your testicle to remove wrinkles, you could do it, but you'd be very stupid. Even the most guys would go, that's a real risk, to have a needle anywhere near those guys. The boys.
I assume it'd be wrinkles in your ball bag, would it?
That's what I'm talking about. That's what it was. And then this morning I was like, because they would suggest that, and guess what? There would be people out there, yes, they will, if they see that that's a thing online.
Oh, yeah.
They would. And the homosexual community would, there are people out there that would think, hey, have I got sagging looking, wrinkly looking testicles? I'll fix that up. who, in reality, who would take a risk of having, you know what Botox, or you know what we're talking about, you were talking about it. Botox is basically food botulism. Poisoning. Botulism, And I mentioned, I'll bring this up actually, because I did a job, and I think I mentioned it to you yesterday, for a friend of mine. She'd be 55, I guess, now, 54. She had a list of her budget, what I was doing. I was doing a final clean for her. I was doing this, and I looked at her budget for the week, although for the month, and one of the parts in her budget was $500 for Botox. And I thought, this is in 2000. And I thought, fucking hell, is she spending that much money? That's $130 a week or whatever. So she was budgeting for that. Now, she does look very young in her face. She's got no wrinkles and her forehead's wrinkle-free. And she's not. Yeah. She's an Australian blonde. A natural Australian blonde who would normally be really wrinkly by 55 because the amount of time she's going to say. Now, very smooth face. I've got a number of female friends out there that look fantastic, and I keep, I don't want to say anything to them, obviously, but I know what they're up to. They're all getting fillers and Botox as part of their monthly beauty regime. And they call it going getting fit. This is what they say. They go, I'm going into the beautician to get fixed or whatever. That's how they say it. And that means their hair, the grey hair's dyed, their face with fillers and Botox. You know, they plump the lips as well, which is another.
What?
Well, you know. Hey, you're not going to know. Joel's not going to have to realise this for at least 20 years that. He doesn't need to worry about this, neither does his wife. But it happens that women – no, actually, no, it would be that generation. I'm seeing younger girls.
The younger ones are the worst, I think, than the older ones.
Yeah, I think they might be actually, Martha. I think you might be correct. I haven't listened to the show, but I'm going to, and it sounds fascinating bringing up these subjects, because I see this on my constitutional bay walk that I do when I'm in Sydney, the when it is, on – Thursdays and Fridays, I try and do a bay. It's called the Bay Walk.
The winner is
Sydney. I watch the girls walking past me, and I've been in the fitness industry literally from 85 to 2000 something or other. But I was in gyms all the fucking time, and I got to talk to people and see their fashions, and all of a sudden, having a big bum. Is now a good thing. A good thing. They're actually getting them pumped up. It's called Brazilian bum or something like that. Not Brazilian.
Kardashian effect, that, isn't it?
The Kardashian effect, yeah. So it's a thing. And so when the gyms were shut during COVID, I was noticing, because these girls have got this thing that they need to be looked at, they were turning up to do it. You know, normally you go for a run, you don't put makeup on, but they do now. Yes, they do. Because they want to be looked at, and they want everything to look fantastic. And so and this friend of mine said to me, is it Kardashian Day or is it blonde gangster slut day? Because it was one of the two. Because all the Middle Eastern gangsters like blonde for some reason, because they come from these countries, they don't get blonde women. And so you'd see either chicks with dark hair with huge asses and big duck lips and slug brows. Or you'd see bleach blonde Greeks and Middle Eastern Italians, not so much for the bigger asses, but they already had them naturally anyway, so it wasn't a problem. It's a thing. So, you know, it's a really interesting.
Should we change subjects slightly? What do you think about Mexican ships crashing into bridges?
Well,
did you discuss that over the weekend? I haven't listened to the shows.
I haven't even heard it before. But I actually had a regular dream in the last 20 years of seeing a cruise ship deliberately rammed into the Sydney Harbour Bridge as being some kind of mock terror or a terror thing. And I haven't seen that, but I do know there's been bridges collapsing all over the place over the years. Usually when they want to demolish them and that there's some kind of organized thing that they organize a psychological operation.
Yeah. And, well, does this mean they're going to destroy the Brooklyn Bridge because a ship's just crashed into it?
Really? When does this happen?
You not seen it?
No. I do not look at mainstream media until Thursday. When I go to the cafe on Thursday morning to read the papers, all three of them, that's when I get my mainstream media. I do not get it till then, so I'll find out eventually.
I'm just going to check the BBC website for some real information, obviously, because on the BBC.
Big Brother, Big Brother Corporation.
the British Brainwashing Corporation. There was a Mexican warship crashed into the Brooklyn Bridge. I think seven people died, obviously.
Really? 27 for real?
27 people. 27 people and 277 personnel on a ship were accounted for. So you've got 27 and 277.
I know a gentleman out there that's very fascinated with that number that would say, if you see seven and there's a scam.
Yeah.
Sounds very 70 to me.
Make that what you will. You'll see that when you're in the cafe. Unless you're not stranded.
Hey, to be honest, it could be a problem. But I'm glad I'm at home and I've got beer and
toilet roll and tuna.
Food, toilet roll, tuna. All good.
Yeah.
Life's fantastic. And I live on a...
Is it that bad then?
Oh, man, this is unbelievable. This is really bad. Just Google Mid-North Coast disaster zone or flooding and you're going to see some incredible fucking footage of... I mean, I just drove through it this afternoon. I went and did a job, thank God. So I'm able to work. But as of tomorrow, maybe not. He's on fire tonight, to be told. 100%. Joel is in the background eating those sound effects. He's got the soundboard in. And he's got that one out. But, yeah, that's fascinating. So it happened on the weekend. I have not seen a single thing about it, not even on Facebook.
Oh. Mm. That must be real then. No one's talking about it.
He says, nearly choking on his beer. It must be real, yeah. Mm.
Crazy.
Yeah, no, Martha, how's your weather? Have you got some sunshine? Have you got a bit of a tan?
Yeah, the past 10 days have been pretty, pretty good. It's going to be a blistering 20 degrees today. So summer has almost arrived, but that's good for us. So I'll take that. It's been nice.
I'd take 20 degrees any day, absolutely. But when you live over there,
it's 5 degrees in the morning and getting up to 20 degrees. So it's still chilly in the mornings, but it's getting warmer as the day goes on.
Yeah, well, my son just said it's 11 degrees in Melbourne, which is quite cold. Apparently Melbourne gets really cold. And I don't know this because I've never been there. I've been there once, but it was really 30 degrees when I was there. It was beautiful. Those regulars, it's Beerilicious and D-Train and Frank, they could verify that it's actually a very cold area. Like Canberra is either extremely hot or extremely cold. It's never the twain. It's always one or the other. But where I live, it's normally fantastic. But anyway,
it's just wet. Where you are.
To be honest, you'd probably say this is really nice weather and go out for a swim, go to the beach.
To me,
this is Ireland, Scotland, New Zealand level, like just non-stop rain. But because we live, I'm coastal and a lot of it's reclaimed land, marshland or what you call it. And so they've built on top of, marshland basically, and when it rains it floods really fast, but it's been raining for at least 2 months, pretty much at least 4 days a week. So what's happened now, we've got an event come over with high wind and 258 millimetres in a day and a half of rain. It's a lot of rain.
Yeah.
And it came down, it's coming down, and like honestly, Martha, farmland and area where there's the cows, et cetera, trying to graze, if it's not up with a hill, it's underwater already. So the earthworm,
it's not good, not good for the crops, is it? It's not good for the crops.
How did we get that one so fast? Another one for Joel. Joel has done it again. He's produced that fast a cow thing, and I only just said it seconds ago. No, but so apart from that psychological operation of the Brooklyn Bridge, now you know that the Brooklyn Bridge is a kind of a what you call like an iconic structure. It's like it's brought in up, it's like the towers and things like that. So
yes.
Mexico going into a Brooklyn Bridge is obviously a warning in the future that Mexico or South America is a danger, and they're coming after us. Pretty much guarantee it.
Where was it? It was going, it's a weird story. It was, I think, going to Finland, and it, I mean, now that's just ridiculous, isn't it, to crash into a bridge and then bloody hell.
You know how unlikely that would be unless it's deliberately done? I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Unless I've got unless I got Captain Rollo with three bottles of vodka down.
Yeah. Yeah, or Stevie Wonder. Maybe Stevie Wonder was a captain. He didn't know where he was going.
I've written some notes down here also that Manhattan. How far is the Brooklyn Bridge from Manhattan? Because for some reason I've written Manhattan down, but
not far, is it?
Not too far, but
yeah, I've been there. Just look at the name of the ship. I can't pronounce it. Cartimoc, and it was the name means one who has descended like an eagle. The descending eagle.
Really?
The descending eagle was crashed into. Right by Statue of Liberty is near there, isn't it? So Statue of Liberty is looking on, and the eagle has landed.
Now, what do they use that for? There was a psychological operation in 1969 that you're listening to. Be told.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Condensation and conversation on May the 20th, 2025. And you got Martha, and you got the great producer in the background, Joel. What a great man he is. And we're talking
You're so funny.
We talk about natural disasters, but as I'm talking, I have rain coming down. You won't be able to hear this, but it's just like all you can see is just fucking rain. It's just, and the sound is really, really loud. Obviously, it gets blocked out by my pouring beer into a giant beer mug, which I've got enough for
two
days.
Sounds good to me.
2 days supply, and hopefully it'll be.
Is that enough?
No, but there is a bottle shop, and I could ring up. Interesting, I have to mention this. Did I mention it last week? And it wouldn't have been released, but my friend who owns the bottle shop, who was King Charles's bodyguard and on his ship in the Falkland War, and on Goose Green as well for the Royal Marines, he said to me he's been summoned, and on the day... 2 days before I fly back to New Zealand, he's flying to England for a soiree with King Charles. And I could ring him if I really wanted to and say, look, can you just get up the hill and open your bottle shop, and I need to buy some beer, even though we're flooding down the boat. I've got a bottle. We're up the top here. We're fine. But it's
He could parachute in and deliver you some beer.
He doesn't need a parachute. He just needs to drive up the hill and open the door, and I could buy more beer. Right. If I do get stuck here, I have no problem whatsoever. Or I could start fermenting the tuna and have fermented tuna as some kind of cocktail. That could be a thing. Yeah. Could that be a thing?
Nope.
Not sure. Yeah. Not sure.
I'm just going to go back. I'm just going to go back to this. This ship.
We're
talking about the number seven. I can't pronounce it. Cuauhtemoc was the last emperor of the Aztec city of Tenochtitlan, and he was 25 years old when he came to power. So there's another seven for you. There you go.
I can have another drink. Every time you say seven, I can drink. Mm. So I'm so
far. Have a shot.
Have a shot. Yeah, why not? Well, honestly, it's sad to say, but not sad to say. When you start looking onto a lot of these big news stories, you'll see a big blatant seven in it.
Of course, yes, unusual old numbers.
If you've got basic math that you can actually add 2 and 7 or 4 and 3 together, you'll see those numbers as well, which is again 7. Yeah. Or 6 and 1.
Same with 9s and 11s. Same. I was tough in it. It's boring after a while, isn't it? Really.
Boring. Yeah. Well, it is boring, but you just can't tell anyone these stories. Speaking of boring, I shouldn't say that, but is getting old a blessing or is it a curse? Now, I'm going to have to say, I deal with a lot of 80-year-old people with my business, and memory gets, I know what it's like at 60, but yesterday the guy that's he's the president of the volunteer committee of this op shop. And he saw my car or my van parked outside, and he popped in to see, and he's really happy with my work, and I'm really happy with the work. And I have to talk about this afterwards. I scored a whole lot of rear vinyl.
I've seen you posted that picture. Yeah, nice one.
Yeah.
Result.
Yeah, yeah. Not a nice one. I Googled some of the prices, and we're talking, £150 for some of the albums, one particular one. Anyway, he come in and he told me, he loves, when he sees me, he knows you can have a great conversation because we talk about the old, even the building industry and he, da, da, da. But anyway, unfortunately, the exact same conversation happens every time. And at his stories, this one particular one, it goes for about 18 to 19 to 20 minutes. And he proceeded to start telling me the same story again. And I can't be rude and go, you've already told me that. I have to sit there and go, and then nod and go, wow, but amazing. And I know now I've heard it 3 times. I know every single bit of this long, involved story about him telling a judge to, it's a really interesting story. But third time at 20 minutes, it's 60 minutes of, it's an hour of listening to the same story again. It's a long story. Yeah. But that's what age does. The older you get, your memory goes.
Yeah, it does. It's because he doesn't have a lot of people to talk to, so he just
exactly, and he knows that it was a really important and it is a really good story. But after hearing it 3 times, I'm going, but I'll do it again just to keep this job because
it probably keeps him from not sitting at home on his own staring at the walls or
well exactly, and that's the other thing. The older you get, that's exactly what your life's going to be. But the good thing about him.
My parents are 80 and they're still pretty active. They're very, very busy. They're always out and about.
So where are your parents? They're in England?
Believe it or not, they've moved to Scotland.
A year or
18 months ago. Yeah, so they live 5 minutes from us, which is really good because it's better than being 500 miles away. And dad turned 80 6 weeks ago. And he still has a drink. He'll go to the pub and goes to gigs and bands and plays his sport still. So
80 is 5 years or 3 years younger than my father. So he's born in 1944, I guess, just before the war.
Just at the end of the war, my dad. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. End of the war, my father is incredibly good. His memory absolutely sharp as a tack. Like, you'll never hear the same story. Never hear the same story twice.
Yeah, and, can't say the same for all their friends because when he turned 80, he had a lot of people send him cards and best wishes and whatnot. And most of, he hasn't seen these people for a few years and they've all been in hospital with heart attacks and cancers and hip replacements.
Vaccinated.
Terrible.
And
yeah. Of course. Oh, yeah. Mm.
The guy telling me the story, and I've said it before, but he's the one that just got it. He got his last booster shot for COVID and he was in hospital for 6 weeks. And I can't say anything to him though, except I said, no. I do say, just, I just said, just don't do that again. Don't do that again. I can't say, you know, you should read Claude Richet's speech from 1911. I think it was 1911, where he proudly bragged about executing 500 dogs with a spike protein, and he said it might not be the first, it could be the second, it could be the third, but within five shots they're all dead. And he got a Nobel fucking prize.
I think my parents have maybe had at least one, maybe two, but they stopped there. They finally realised it's a bit of a waste of time, thanks to all my nagging.
Did you try, or did you just don't bother?
100%. Oh, 100%. Yeah. I was telling them not to bother, and they was in the first lot. I think Christmas 2020, and they had it done. But thankfully, nothing untoward happened.
Was it just after William Shakespeare took his first bite? Remember that one? William Shakespeare.
William Shakespeare.
And he died about 16 weeks afterwards.
He did. So thankfully, it seems to be if you've had 3, 4, or 5, it's all the boosters, whatever, seem to be doing all the damage, I think. But who knows?
It's a very important, one of the greatest things that psychologists, I guess that's where I heard it from, Claude Richet or whatever his name was, Claude Richet. His acceptance speech for the Nobel Prize 1909 might have been, 1911. It was a very significant number. And he proudly said that he'd named this thing anaphylaxis. And he created the name against life, anaphylaxis. And by injecting these dogs with spike proteins, it may not happen on the first one, but within the third or fourth or fifth, they'll die. And he executed
that.
Yeah. And that's actually a thing, and I shared it. I've told people. And that is your bang to right proof that sticking a spike protein in your arm into your bloodstream will kill you. Eventually.
Yes.
It may not be the first one. But if you get two or three more, eventually you're gone. Boom, gone.
Yeah. Makes sense, doesn't it? You keep injecting poison into yourself and that's what'll happen, won't it? It makes sense. Yep. But they can't see that. They can't see that these people, they just think it's a completely acceptable.
I can say this again on the Be Told show because I haven't said it. I'm not repeating myself here. But it's the whole medical thing was rammed into your psyche subconsciously by American TV shows in the 60s.
Yes.
And it was Dr. Marcus Welby and Dr. Kildare. Dr. Kildare. Yeah. So Will Kill. You got your opposite there. And you had these shows were, I'm not joking, big fucking shows back in the day. Everyone watched Marcus Welby, MD.
In the 90s, you had George Clooney.
Clooney,
the fittest man alive.
Clooney came in to reestablish Marcus Welby, and his show. There was what was it called? He was the head doctor on ED something.
ER.
Just trust your doctors. They're there to help you. They're going to do this. And they're going to be. Look, to be honest, I do, as a hypochondriac registered, as a conspiracy theorist as well, I am a hypochondriac. I used to go to the doctor quite regularly if anything came up. But luckily, I picked the right two doctors, one Jewish and one Chinese. And the Jewish one used to say to me, you know, what are you worried about? You know, they do that, you know, and he looks exactly like, and I've said it before, I'll repeat myself, he looks like the actor that played Gene Wilder. And he's a very clever guy. He does a lot of other high level stuff, brain stuff as well. But he used to say to me, what are you worried about? You know, he used to hold his hands up, do that classic thing. But my Chinese doctor, who was a doctor of Chinese and Western medicine, and he used to offer air acupuncture, which fixed a couple of the conditions I had. But he'd say, I can't tell you this, but because he took the Hippocratic Oath, or Hypocritic Oath, I call it.
Hypocritic, yeah.
Yeah, and so he was actually a doctor of Chinese medicine, so he would offer me air acupuncture, or he'd advise going getting a checkup. He was really, really thorough about stuff. And these guys are still practicing, and I've had them for nearly 40 years. So it is worthwhile going to the doctor if you've got particularly real things that do happen to you, and that fungal infections, which can happen.
Yeah.
At least it's
been if you find a good doctor. Yeah, if you find a good doctor, stick with it a bit. In this country, you're lucky to get an appointment. So if you can't get an appointment in this country.
Hey, Martha, it is where I live now. No, I'm not talking about the winter in Sydney. I'm talking about where I live now. It is a nightmare because the doctors don't want to come here. They don't make enough money. They way prefer to be in Sydney or the Gold Coast or in Brisbane. This is regional areas, and for some reason they're not making the same money they make in a bigger city. So you get really poor physiotherapists, poor specialists that come here.
Is your healthcare provided by the state, or is it funded?
We're still very lucky that in Australia it's free. But I pay for some strange reason for the last 20 something years. I have private insurance. But I do believe someone said to me, do not get rid of that now, because as you get into 60 and you might have a heart issue or whatever, you get treated straight away. Boom. And if you go for private. Yeah. But only because I'm the age I am, I should just get rid of it, because it's $200 a month that I'm not really using. I don't use it. But if I really had a real serious issue, they will cover it and put you into private, which is you'll be looked after a little bit better than the public, I do believe.
I suppose it's just generally wear and tear on the body, so you might have ailments of, muscle. Ailments or 100%. Wherever they get to that age, that's what you need it for if you need stuff replacing or operations on your body. But
did you get all your stuff? The last time we talked, you had a tradesman turning up and buzzing the door.
Done all that. Everything's all been done, so we're all good to go now. So we're going back to Croatia in 2 months. I think.
Oh wow!
Counting down to our usual trip away for 2 weeks.
Well, why not? And so you're going to be able to drink decent beer really cheap.
Yes. Decent, cheap beer, plenty of sun, and excellent food. So I would, if anyone's looking to go to Europe, I would recommend Croatia. Did your daughter go there?
Yes, she did. And she absolutely loved it. Yeah. She has done more traveling than I have by the factor of 10. Her and her friends were just getting to rent a car or borrow a car. And so she drove right up to, she was in Slovenia, where my cousin is the national coach of the rugby union side, guaranteed.
Oh.
Yeah, he's there all the time. But me and him, we cannot have conversations. He barred me after he told me one of his guys in his team had COVID and he was nearly dead. And I said, really? And that was it. He just absolutely, but we still talk, kind of.
Mm.
But that's a fact, I'm telling you. Normies will not ever entertain your views if you suggest that the mainstream medical system is not there to kill you.
They won't.
Yeah, Marcus Welby and... what's his name?
Kildare.
Their parents put it into them. Oh, their doctor's going to help you. And oh, he's so fantastic. He gave me these pills. And I had a lump in my breast. That's the biggest one that I deal with all the time. They discovered a lump in their breast. Now that I'm there 100% with that thing, that lump is just protecting a dangerous cell growth. And so your body's going, Because guess who does this? Bees do this. If you put an alien, you know, because a beehive is a completely sterile environment. If a mouse or a rodent or anything comes in to try and get the honey, they sting it to death, and then they cover it with a coating of what's now called, because of pee, and it coats and it basically provides, it turns it into a kind of a mummifies it, and none of the germs can get through it.
No.
Now, that's what I would say a lump in your breast or your testicle.
A lump anywhere.
Your body's said, oh, there's cells doing strange things. Yeah. Cover it with this particular, you know, whatever they call it. Now, you go straight to a doctor and he goes, oh, you got a lump there. I'll just cut in my scalpel. And
I would say, how many times have you heard, I've had a biopsy so that they cut it open. And then all of a sudden, the cancer spreads. The cancer spread to my lungs. It spread to my bones or whatever.
And to my bones. Yeah, of course exactly. It will. 100%. So anyone that goes out and follows the protocols of when you go and send them into get a biopsy done, particularly skin cancers. The skin cancer is another one. I've seen more old people that have cured their skin cancers by using, what's it called, that flower, the beautiful-looking orange and yellow flower that produce, it's called something else. I got told this in 1980 something or other by an old guy. He said, I've got skin cancers and I'm using this particular product that I make, and it's a product of a flower. I can't remember the name off the top of my head.
I know.
And they just, I'll tell you. No, it's not correct.
Lily.
It's because of C, and I've got lots of it. Calendula. So calendula, right, which is basically the flower of a really nice flower. You put that straight onto the skin cancer, and it absolutely disappears. Gone. It will go within about a week, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think the whole cancer thing's another scam. Actually, if Berylicious is listening, she should think about doing a show about that, because I think mammography and breast cancer is a complete scam. I think there were so many women who were cutting their breasts.
You're listening to Be Told 29.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Fantastic. We're listening to Be Told episode number 29 with some high power stars have come in. It's so fantastic to have Joel ready and willing to come in and just do some drops and bits and pieces. And Martha, who's always there, which is always fantastic. We're talking about skin cancers now. I spent most of my life in a very sunny climate in New Zealand. Well, no, New Zealand was sunny some of the time. Australia's sunny used to be, most of the time. Most of the time. And skin cancers are a major issue over here because people go off, their doctor says, oh, you've got a lump, and they take you in there and they cut around. And I've had it done to myself, yes. In 1986 or 7, I was stupid. And I allowed a doctor to cut a dark bit of, well, basically it would have been a freckle, a darker freckle.
A mole.
And I got the thing back, said, no problem. It was benign. Now, I know people that have had half their noses removed and have had to have plastic surgery. I don't know why they call it plastic surgery. There's no plastic involved, but the term they use, is it to make it more dodgy or whatever? I don't know.
Make it more appealing.
There's nothing in our body made of plastic. Why would they call it plastic surgery? Other than the fact that it's weaponized. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Now, I know people that this is what they do. They're in their 60s and 70s. They go to to be honest, over here, it is very sunny. So you will have dark lesions and little things all over your body. These people go off and get huge things chopped off. Even a guy said half his nose, not half his nose, but he had a huge amount of skin removed out of, you know, off his face. He's now having to get surgery to hide, and microsurgery to hide the scars that he's got all over his face. Why would you just not get calendula and rub it on those things? And I'm not joking here, Martha. I've used this technique.
Oh, no, I'm with you. But
and not only
so
that,
is it the suntan lotion what causes the cancer or the sun?
Well, there's two things. But you're just very interesting you bring that up. So basically, poor little children that go to daycare in Australia, and I'm going to have to say I sent my children there. We both allowed our children to go to daycare. They get covered in what is basically toxic chemical shit to stop the sun going on, and they make them wear hats.
And yeah, zinc, isn't it?
Zinc's fantastic. Now, if you're going to use zinc as a sunblock, I've got no problem with that. Right, okay. It's a beneficial and very good for your immune system. But no, they're using basically what is in paints. If you look in your paint thing, the chemicals, they're basically metals that they put into that stop paints fading. They are in most of your sunblock.
Suntan lotion.
It's full of really like metal. Now, the sun that used to be yellow, I'm going to say that again, that used to be yellow when it was in the blue sky up above your head back in the 90s when that was the last time I've seen it that yellow. It was, it actually creates, you know, your skin, if you're from a country that's not normally, so because we've been moved around and shifted around. So basically when you grew up, and your ancestors grew up, you had the right amount of melanin in your body to deal with that particular sun. So you grew up, say you grew up in Scotland or England, you were no problem whatsoever. Or you grew up in Ukraine or whatever. But you get moved deliberately over to a country like Australia or Africa, your skin does not deal with that level of sunlight, and it can produce a reaction that will actually protect it, so therefore you'll get more spots on your skin, guaranteed. And what they've done, though, they've weaponized that. So they've said, oh, no, you've got a spot, you know, you better quickly cut it open, send it off to a laboratory. It's good or it's bad. We better cut more out of you. Those, you know, you've gone straight and removed and found those cells that your body had naturally protected, release them, and they're going to go spread into your bones, into your liver, into your kidneys, whatever. How many people do you know that have died of skin cancer treatment? I'm telling you, I know a lot. And they said, oh, no, that was
because... You certainly hear a lot of these people who get their biopsies.
It spreads.
And don't forget, we got all Creepy Joe Biden now has got the old prostate cancer, isn't it?
It's about time he left the stage, you know, to be honest. I think he's done.
This is his exit strategy, I assume. He probably died years ago.
We've got
King Charles. We've got King Charles of the cancer.
I do not believe Charles, who is the most absolutely hands-on organic, everything organic. He has been pushing organic food for years.
Yes.
All of a sudden, he has to shut up about it. His own personal farms are all organic, organic. There's no chemicals used in his farm. Now, how come he doesn't bring this up and says, oh, no, but you should be doing, I'm doing this and, you know, it's good for you and me and we won't eat chemical-laden food. He won't say any of that, but he personally is an organic farmer. And he's got books. Now, I know someone who knows them. I guarantee that he is 100% totally organic.
The Dutchie estate is the best food
it's,
grown.
I guess it's,
and
I guess it's all, it's all in Scotland. It's all in Scotland where you are.
Yes.
Yeah. So why
and I would say, like, I would say he hasn't got cancer.
Guaranteed, Martha. He hasn't got cancer. Neither has his. What's happened to her? You know, the one that keeps disappearing.
She's been who knows? Even if he has got cancer, do you really think he's going to go to hospital and have poisonous treatment?
No, he's telling you that. It's because he wants you to think that. The only thing that supports me, like, I know he's got a great sense of humor because I've seen photos of him with his friend, literally a friend of mine, with his arm around him, and they're laughing their heads off. And this guy, he's a mad Scotsman. He told me the stories that he used to tell Charles, and Charles used to laugh his head off. And he showed me a photo of Charles's arm around him. And you know when someone's roaring with laughter, you cannot fake that. That he's laughing his head off. And he told me the story that he told him to make him laugh like that. And it was very funny. I won't be repeating it here, but it's to do with, you know, having a bit of a night out. But, you know, Charles is also a Goon fan. I've always been quite fan. And there's a really funny sketch out there of Charles with his second IC or whatever, some Air Force guy or Naval guy. And they were doing a sketch copying off a Blue Bottle, that Peter Sellers' character. And Charles is pretending to be Blue Bottle and doing this perfect impersonation. Because him and Spike Milligan and Peter Sellers, they're all very good friends. Good friends.
I think Charles done a reading at his funeral, didn't he? I think at
He did. He did. Despite the funeral. Yep. Absolutely. Guaranteed. So he's not. To me, he's not a bad guy, but he's a liar for not standing up and telling us that you need organic food. Now, the other day, I went and bought some carrots. So I was still at a proper real fruit shop, not far from me. I went and bought a whole lot of these big carrots that he'd bought from locally sourced from a local farm, and I juiced them. They taste, there is no comparison. The ones you get in Coles, and I would say Coles, which is the Coles of hell, and Woolworths over here, which is another big giant American company, I think, or English originally. Crap. It is bland crap.
Yeah.
It's not even orange. I mean, they're orange, but the juice quality, when you get it from a proper local producer that actually,
That fruit in supermarkets was probably picked about 12 months ago and it's been in storage, cold storage for a year.
Alan Watt used to bring this up all the time, and he also used to bring up, I'm talking about the 1998 era Alan Watt. He used to bring up stories about Scottish, farmers and English farmers getting crucified by these new laws that we're bringing in, say that you can't do this if it's, you have to have all these regulations that were thrown at the farmers, and it destroyed them. And he was saying that just look at the product, and it's true. I juiced these carrots from a local producer. The juice was bright orange, and it tasted absolutely beautiful. It was like really sweet. Yet the stuff that unless you pay for organic, and that's probably up to double the cost sometimes.
Easily. Or just grow it yourself. Just grow more stuff. It's crazy not to.
Do you have land? Do you have land that you can do that? You know where you are.
No, we've got a small garden, but you can grow potatoes and some soft fruit you can grow. You're not going to get a lot, but certainly I've grown potatoes before. You can do those in a big bucket. They taste amazing. You know, if you just grow your potatoes, it's so much cheaper as well, and they're really good. You notice a difference.
We've got a lot of
farms up here. Obviously, where I am on the East Coast, there's a lot of farms, so we should really go and buy a bit more organic, or at least go and, pick some fruit and things.
The other thing is, if you're near the coast, you can go and get seaweed and spray that. And get this, apparently, you know, that's just take it. You've got to actually find it. You've got to take it's from way up the beach. You're not allowed to take the green stuff down that close to the beach, which is fine. I don't care. And you throw that in your garden, and you grow.
Yeah.
Put the seaweed in it, and you have to chop it up because it actually doesn't just dissolve. It actually stays alive for months and months and months and months. It just needs moisture. But if you want the best garlic and the best onions and whatever, if you put seaweed, which is full of iodine, I have to say that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your garden, you're going to get the best crops ever. And luckily where I live, there's so many old people that have their own gardens, and there's actually a community garden, you know, 2 minute walk from my front door, where I can actually go and put a gold coin donation in and harvest whatever I need for the, you know, a week or a night from a community garden. You're 100% correct. You need to be growing your own food and know where it comes from and what you're putting on it. Because this is the other way they're killing it. They're killing us. It's not by kindness. They're killing us by naivety, that we're buying farmed food that, you know, using
pesticides and vaccines in the meat as well, vaccines in the animals.
That's the other thing about meat. So I have to start agreeing with some of the vegetarians out there, particularly the big farmers. I've been told if you donate your chicken or your stock, you will not be allowed to sell your stuff in our shop.
Yeah.
And that's where they're living, because they've destroyed, I'm going to have to get slightly loud here, destroyed local fruit shops, local small businesses, by opening up giant businesses, the supermarkets, which is the reason it's called supermarket, like Superman. You know, these are giant versions of what we used to dread. It's like a giant business that opens up, and it, because it has the most brightest lights and everyone can see it, and it's right in where you need it to be, everyone goes there, and it's so convenient because you can walk out and all of a sudden, oh, there's a bottle shop next to it. I'll go to that bottle shop. And the little tiny independent ones that are all around the fruit shops, they just disappear and die. New Zealand would be the greatest example of that. I've never seen anything like what's happened over there. Yeah, but the same thing's probably going on over there.
Yeah, just looking here, someone just sent me a link to something as that we have a lot of these cyber attacks in the UK against supermarkets, and he just sent something out to
You're being attacked by the agency, Martha. Say that again. Repeat yourself.
We have some supermarkets have suffered some cyber attacks in the inverted commas, so a lot of food, the shelves have been empty.
They're out to get you.
Yes,
yeah. Where's the link? Where's the link? And I'll say it out loud.
It's on the BBC News. A food distributor has suffered another cyber attack.
They're out to get you. You're going strangled.
So the shelves are empty. It'd be like rationing. You're right. We should start growing food and, you know, feed ourselves a little bit more.
Absolutely. I got bits of that, but you went strangled.
I was just going to say, time's getting on now, so I think we could probably.
Thank you for coming in and having a chat. Always a pleasure.
And if Berylicious is listening, I think a discussion about cancer and probably mammography and things like that might be a good show.
Yeah, getting your tit squashed, I call that. Getting your tit squashed.
Yeah, we've gone from ball bags to tits. There you go, in one fell swoop.
Why not? Well, that's what they do.
They take
their breath and they put them, they squash them, and then they find some little tiny black something or other, and they go, "Oh, we've got to remove that," and they cut them out. I've just had a friend go through that. I listened to her, and I cannot talk to her because she had polio when she grew up. And guess why she got polio? Because she grew up on a rural property and they were spraying DDT guaranteed.
Yeah.
But you can't say anything because she actually did suffer from polio. And you, I'm telling you, Martha, if you actually ever meet someone that has suffered from polio and they got shriveled arm, etc. Like, what's his name? I just thought incredible stuff from, what's his name? Hit me with your Ian Drury.
Who suffered from polio.
Yeah.
Yes.
What a clever guy. That guy was such an intelligent, clever guy. But he had a shriveled arm and a shriveled leg because he had polio in the 50s or 40s and 50s. He would have got it, though, via pesticides, guaranteed. Or even in the home, the fly sprays were full of DDT.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, he may have been in a war. Would he have been moved? How old was he? Just thinking he might have been lived on a – moved to a farm during the war, maybe.
I do know a number of people that have polio, and you cannot bring up anti-vax with them because they actually suffered a level of pain cannot just they couldn't breathe, they couldn't do it. And guess what, there's a book out there, I think it got the Nobel Prize, but they got the Pulitzer Prize. It's called Polio, Pulitzer Prize winning book, Polio. And it says that there were about 30 or 40 different things that they actually rebranded polio back in the day. So just like COVID, you can go in with a head injury from falling off a motorbike and then, oh, he got COVID. It was COVID that killed him. Yeah. They did the same thing with polio in the 40s and 50s. And you will never, ever convince a polio sufferer that vaccines are bad. They just think that they weren't vaccinated and that's why they got polio. Yep. And I've been through it and I don't even bother arguing, guaranteed. Anyway,
duty calls, so enjoy the rest of your evening and your tuna. catch you later.
All right, man. And I'll keep talking for a little bit because I've written some stuff down, but I'm trying to find what I wrote down. Typical of me.
Actually, before I go on a musical note, you just mentioned Ian Drury. Have you checked out his son, Baxter Drury's stuff?
Not at all.
Music. Right,
no,
there you go.
I will do. Thank you, Martha.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
You're listening to... Oh, he says, getting another beer. Do you think I might be an alcoholic? I think I could be. But I always compare myself to Rollo. And I always feel way better when I compare myself to other people. He's way worse than me, I always say. Or is he? Not at the moment, I don't think. Not at the moment. You're listening to Be Told, the episode number... was it? Did I say 29? On the 20th of May, 2025. Still going, still chatting. And thank you to Martha for coming in and having a great chat. But, there's 100% definitely issues there with cancer treatment. Not just cancer treatment. It's the way that they tell you you've got a problem. You need to go to a specialist. A friend of mine, and they are all friends, guaranteed, go off and see this guy. They get money from referring you. When you get referred to someone, they are getting probably $1,000, I would guess, or hazard a guess, $1,000 referral, maybe $500. And that specialist is going to go, look at this. And they'll stick that in their arm. Or am I still there? Yes, I am. I'm going green. As usual, a pleasure to go green these days. Yeah, no, so the whole cancer thing and getting your breast squashed for the females out there. Or the worst one is can you imagine having light with your legs wide open and having some weird person come and scrape your cervix to make sure that you haven't got a cervical cancer? And this is going on with most women. They're being humiliated I don't think men could deal with what women have to go through. Men would never concede to lying down, basically the opposite, with their bum up in the air and having someone stick in a device to scrape their prostate with a brush and then send it off and go, oh, you've got possible cervical this or prostate this. Now, it's humiliation. It's, you know, we go back to the COVID days where they brought up, they were actually testing people via their bottoms. They were doing anal swabs. An anal, not Klaus Schwab, anal Schwab. This happened. There was kids getting done with it in Japan and China. They were testing kids for COVID by doing an anal swab. This happened. Google it. I don't think they deleted this as yet, but will be deleted eventually. Now, before I go, I've been listening to a fantastic show that I used to listen to a long time ago. I actually better give you the exact name of it, because he changes his name a little bit every now and then. Podcast Addict, is it on here? Yeah, Occult Symbolism and Popular Culture, hosted by a pseudonym, Isaac Weishaupt. So it's a pseudonym. That is not his real name. But he just did a book breakdown of this movie, Heretic. Now, anyone, especially the Gnostics out there, need to watch this movie. And it stars the same guy, and I should be bringing some of this stuff up because it's kind of relevant. What's his name? That was the boyfriend of that girl, and he was caught with a prostitute in America, whatever his name is, English actor, who just happened to also appear, just like Sam Neill was in the same movie about the Blue Mountains. Artist movie called Siren, which is fantastic if you like to see nude women, particularly Elle Macpherson, and with no pants on or whatever. And I can tell you a very interesting story about that film. But I may, will I or will I, won't I? I'm not sure. But anyway, he stars in this movie, and it's actually very Gnostic. Very interesting. It's about the Mormon, kind of ties in Mormonism. It's about two girls that are it's called Heretic. Now, the stuff that this particular actor, what's his name? Why can't I remember his name? Anyway, the things that he says in this movie, this is very Gnostic, and it's very interesting, and it also feeds in with a number of what I would call, you know, quite good, interesting movies back in the day. That actually, they're basically out to attack Christianity, though, by saying that, oh no, this is ancient. This is, you know, the same stuff was said 1,000 years. You know, Mithra was saying the same thing Jesus said, and then there's before that, you know, Buddha was saying the same thing. I think that's weaponized. But Heretic review by what's his name? On the Isaac Weishaupt's Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture podcast, I highly recommend you listen to that show, because some of the arguments that used by this particular actor in this film are actually very relevant. And I think Silas Speaks will be interested in this review, I would guarantee you now. It's actually really, really interesting. I found it fascinating, so I listened to that last night. But the Mormon stuff, so the Mormons are basically the latest, well, not latest, but how many years ago the Mormons came out? Magic underwear, the Osmonds. It's still a huge religion out there. But if you listen to these occult symbols and pop culture shows, you're going to see some really interesting stuff. I highly recommend that. What else was I going to talk about? Actually, I probably wind it up now, to be honest. It's the way it is. That's the way it is. But I do definitely think, personally, my opinions of skin cancer are definitely calendula. If you have a skin cancer on your arm or on your chest or wherever, rub calendula oil, essential oil, onto it. It will go. If it's really bad, you can get stuff called black salve, which I've seen and lots of local people are using up here for their animals. You can get it in veterinarians. A good veterinarian was selling black salve, and it basically just eats away and removes lumps. Literally, be told, black salve. It's a thing, guaranteed. Anyway, well, I don't know what song I'm going to end with tonight, and I'll send it to Joel. It's been fantastic, and he came in and saved the day. I was about to not do a show, but...
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Joel. I'll send you the song.
Thank you, Rick.
Thought of anything. We'll think of something relevant, and I'll send you a title. Thanks, Joel. I'm going to go. Over and out. Bye.
Your cell phone, your wallet, your time, your ideas, no barcode, no party, no ID, no beers, your bank card, your license, your thoughts, your fears, no SIM card, no disco, no photo, not here, your blood, your sweat, your passions, your regrets, your profits, your time off, your fashions, your sex, your pills, your grass, your tits, your ass, your laughs, your balls, we won't be talk. Habits, your fats, your fears. Give us your address, your shoe size, your ears, your digits, your plans, your number, your eyes, your schedule, your desktop, your details, your life. Show us your children, your photos, your home. Here, take credit, take insurance, take a loan. Get a job, get a pension, get a haircut, get a suit. Play the lottery, play football, play the field, score some toot. We'll show you shrink, we'll show you sleep, we'll buy you drinks, we'll pay your bill, we'll sell you crap, we'll charge you debt. Wanna buy big guns, we'll front up cash.
We want your soul.
Your love, your dreams, your checkbook, your essence, your sweat, your screams, your security, your sobriety, your innocence, your society, yourself, your place, your distance, your space.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here, watch this. Shut up. You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
Here's Britney, here's cola, here's pizza, here's TV, here's some rock, and some roller. Watch commercials, more commercials, watch Jerry, not Oprah. Buy a better life, from the comfort of your sofa. Here's popcorn, here's magazines, here's milkshake, here's blue jeans, here's padded bars, here's armpit wax, here's football shirt, here's baseball cap, here's live talk shows, here's video games, here's Cola Life, here's Tim Morley, here's filter tips, here's college limit, here's all night mall, here's plastic tips.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here's American Gladiators. Watch this. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Here's American Gladiators. Here is 56 channels of it. Watch these pituary retards bang their fucking skulls together and congratulate you on living in the land of freedom. Here you go, America. You are free to do as we tell you.
strays, no dropouts, no gays, no lefties, no loonies, no opinions, no way, no thinkers, no teachers, no facts, no freaks, no skaters, no tweakers, no truth, no song. Here's popcorn, here's magazines, here's milkshake, here's blue jeans, here's padded bars, here's armpit wet, here's football shirts, here's baseball caps. Here's very long infomercials.